That never gets old to me. Shower's a blessing. Shower's a blessing. I always tell people that some folks say that it showered too long. They got blessed over and over again. I'm one of those. I'm one of those. I love the God. I love God. Thank you, choir, for coming down as usual for the Pastor Emeritus. That's my choir. I love to have them in the audience. To Pastor Dr. Larry Davidson, to our worship leader, Juanita Wan. She is such a blessing to me. I always love to hear when she, as she worship, leads the worship service. She leads it with so much spirit. Amen. She doesn't seem like she's not tired of being up here. She loves it and leads it, leaves it expositionally. She leads it. And I love the way her. To my pulpit guest, our young minister, Dr. Ferguson. I call him Dr. Ferguson. He'll be there one day. I'm prophesying. To my armor bearer, and always been my armor bearer, Mr. Regular Neal. He does a great job for me. I thank God for him. And to you who have come today to share in this great service, I want to say that one of the things that God continues to amaze me, how he puts things together. God always puts things together in spite of man. You'll see what I'm talking about in the song that you sung. Some of you sung it because it was new to me and new to most of you. The congregational song was very good that Roy came up with that. I know God encouraged him to come up with it. And it was because of my sermon that God gave me, walked right down that line. You'll see that in a minute. I thank God for putting things together. Will you please stand, and we're going to do something that I always love to do. Do this is the word of God. You got that? You got that? This is the word of God. How many of you remember that? It's on the screen now. Repeat after me. This is the word of God. It's good for the nourishment of my body. It's good for the feeding of my soul. It is good for the directing of my living. I am what I said I am. I can be all that I say I can be. I can do all that it says I can do. Lord, Lord, please feed me. Amen. He feeds us today. We remain standing. God gave me that many, many years ago. You remember that? And we've been doing it ever since. I want you to turn to Exodus 33 and 1 through 3 and 13 through 15. Now, I must say something here. God put this on my spirit to read about 3 months ago. And the first of this year, he put it on my spirit to read this chapter again. I've read it all the Bible. I always said it. I read all the Bible, at least 2 or 3 now. But I never preached from this particular chapter. And when I read it, I said, why didn't I ever, ever preach from that chapter? And I saw that there were many things that God was giving me from this chapter. And the first verse said, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of him. Now realize that God is saying, I will not go with you. I will lead you there, but I won't go with you. Now, put a pin in that, because that's the heart of our subject. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Now, therefore, I pray thee, in the 13th verse. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace, Moses is talking here, in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. Now, notice that God has changed from the second verse to the 13th verse. Now, my presence will go with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, Moses said that, if thy presence does not go with me, carry us not up hence. Don't let us go. If you are not going with us, touch somebody and say, if God is not going with us, I ain't gonna go. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is a short, powerful message. I want to say that. It's a short, powerful message. And it's going to touch somebody. Some years ago, one of the most popular ad slogans was put out by American Express Credit Card Company. I know you remember it well. I remember it oh so well. When Lamar and Lance were leaving the house to go to that prom in my brand new town car, I videoed them. You know, they had the big video that, not the one that we have now on our phone. I videoed them about to get in the car and back out of the driveway. I had given them my American Express card to use for that night. When they were going to take their data before they went to the prom, not after they went to the prom, amen? I'll never forget the scene of Lamar holding up my American Express card and saying this word, don't leave home without it. Remember that? Don't leave home without it. I laughed, but as you would guess, I lived to hear that laugh. I didn't have that laugh long. I'm saying to you that I'm saying not don't leave home without it. I'm saying don't go anywhere without him. Don't go anywhere without him. Amen. Don't go anywhere without him. Today's conversation between Moses and God is a pretty gusty conversation. Moses seemed very comfortable with God. That's the kind of conversation you ought to have with God. The one that it seemed so familiar. You talking to your wife, or you talking to your children, you talking to your mother or father. That's the way you ought to be talking to God. If you don't, God said, he challenged God. When God said, I will not go with him, Moses said, if you don't go with us, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. Moses is praying real prayers here, nothing held back. And what is even more amazing with this conversation is the frankness that God has with him. He's gentle, he's patient, he's reassuring, as he discusses this one. I always tell people that when you are trying to understand the scripture, you always look at the context of the scripture. That is, what's happening around that particular verse. The conversation we're exegeting today falls between two separate deliveries of the Ten Commandments on stone tablets. Moses brought down from Mount Sinai the first set of commandments, only to find the nation of Israel worshiping a golden calf when he got down. Moses was so angry with the people, and he took the tablets and broke the tablets. God would give him a second set. But in this setting, God is the one who's angry. God has told Moses he plans to send an angel instead of going himself. Why didn't he want to send the angel? Because he's afraid he might kill. Now listen to the word. He might kill them all if he stays with them any longer because of their continued rebellion. I've been that way with my boy. I wanted to kill him. Of all in the world, I take them up because they rebel. Now, God did that also. I know a lot of you I felt that way as parent. You'd like to take them up. And God will say, no, stay in. This is the setting for today's dialogue. As Moses intercedes for his sinful people before a holy God. As I look at Moses' boldness before God, I see three or four applications for us. First of all, like Moses, we need to pray for those who rebel against God. And we need to pray for those who rebel against God. That's what Moses is doing at the end of verse 13. He says to God, remember that this nation is your people. Remember that this people belong to you. Now I want you to understand that Moses was praying for his people. And notice how Moses includes himself in verse 16. He asks, how would anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Twice he does it. Moses intercedes for people who have rebelled against God. And we need to do the same. We all know people in rebellion against God. After all, if you are not a believer, the Bible says you are God's enemy. Now, that's not two things about that. No, only one thing is you love God or you hate God. There's no in the middle. You are either God's friend or God's enemy. There's no middle ground. We all have family members who we would love to be say they belong to God, that they're on God's side, but they're not. If they are not living for God, if they're not walking with God, if they are going where God's leading them to go, they are not one of God's children. And now that's hard. That's what had been missing in the church. We don't preach about hell and heaven. We preach a lot about heaven. You know, I hate to see it on Facebook when people get out or get killed, they always say, R-I-H. R-I-H. What does that mean? Rest in heaven. Everybody going to heaven on Facebook. Amen. I want to say, rest in hell. You're not living for God. If you're not loving God, you're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. We have friends who are rebelling against God, even if they're not aware they're doing it. We have neighbors who are rebelling against us. Maybe you're thinking, I know, but what can I do about it, Pastor Gomer? You can pray for them. That's what you can do. We don't need the prayer. We need to pray for them regularly. We need to pray often. We need to pray like Moses prayed. God, these people need you. They don't stand a chance without you. Please save them. Please save them. Save them. They don't know what they are doing. Then we need to intercede for those who are rebelling against God. After all, one of Jesus' last statements from the gospel, a prayer for those who, he said, did not know what they were doing. We need to pray for those who don't know God. And secondly, we need to hunger for the presence of God. Not only pray for those who don't know God, but hunger for the presence of God yourself. Most of all, for God's presence. So badly, they say in verses 15 and 16, if your presence does not go with us, we do not send us up from him. How would anyone know? Now, this is the key. Will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with them? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of earth? It's the presence of God. That is it. You either got him or you don't have him. Indeed, what will? What makes us different? We are called Christians because we believe in God, we believe in Jesus Christ, and we have his presence with us. What makes us different from anyone else if we do not have the presence of God? The word for presence in the Hebrew actually means face to face. The idea of a very personal relationship with God face to face. Do you have a face to face relationship with God? Do you have that sit down and talk to me, God? I know we sing a song that says, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. No, I know that's all right. But sometimes, like Moses, you need to have more than a little talk with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been there? Amen. Have you ever been at a place where you find yourself saying, God, I need you to have a face-to-face talk with you about this thing? I've been there and I've done that in my life. There have been times that I say, God, I got to feel your presence right now, right now. And just now, I say, no, coming tomorrow will be too late. I need you right now. And face-to-face conversation. I got to discuss it. I remember one of the times that I really was mad with God. It was in 1995. When you, the first lady of this church, passed. And then my mother passed. Then my sister passed. I said, God, I'm right with him. I gotta have a talk with you. I'm here struggling and doing all I can for you. And you're working in your vineyard. Why are you giving me so much hell in my life? I had to talk to him. I had to discuss this thing with him. I had to have a face-to-face with him. I needed him right then, not later. I want God to show you up the face-to-face talk with you when you ask him that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been there. I've done that. Listen, just because you go to church does not make you a believer. The same way it is if you walk in the garage, it doesn't make you a car. You can come to church, but it doesn't make you a Christian. The presence of God in your life is what makes you a Christian, makes you a believer. And that is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. The presence of God is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Amen. The presence of God is here. I feel him in that. You know, some people come to church and say, I didn't feel nothing. Well, you ain't got nothing. Amen. I'm saying that. Pastor American take Luther a license to say that. You ain't got nothing if you don't feel nothing. I can't ever go to church and I didn't feel something. I feel God's presence in this place. I feel his presence in this. Without God's presence, people, we are lost. We're no different from the rest of the world. Understand that. If you have God with you, you are different from the world. That's what Moses says here. Don't send us to the promised land without you, because they'll kill us all. If you got us, they will respect our presence. God, your presence is important here. We need to pray for those who rebel against God, and we need to hunger for the presence of God. But God's presence is essential in several ways. First of all, essential to no success in the Christian life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ with what? If you got the presence of God, I can do all things with the presence of God. And secondly, essential to know success in the Christian church. Jesus said, where two or three of my people are together, gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. If you got God in your midst, you got a powerful thing going on. Amen. God is awesome. Essential to know success in the Christian battle. Exodus 17:11 says, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Now that's power. If you think of it, you got God in your life, you got him in person with you. If you hold up your hand, that's what armor bearers say. Hold up your hand, and then you'll win. If you let down, the enemy will. That's our present it. God's present is an expressive present. The hill melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth melted, was shaken. Isaiah 64:1 says, "O thou that thou wouldst rend the heaven, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountain might fall down at thy presence." When God's presence is manifesting, things melt before him. That's a whole lot of shaking going on when God's presence is there. Yeah, amen. God's presence is an encompassing presence. In Psalm 139:7-10, it declares, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy foot? If I ascend up to the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, even there you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It's an encompassing presence. It's all around. I like the 19th chapter of Psalm that says, "The heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." He's there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and his presence was all throughout the earth. And your presence, his presence needs to be in you. I need to see God in you. That's what he said. If you got him, you ought to show some that. God's presence is an emancipating presence. 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty." Emancipating means set free. You're set free. You're not men bound to anything. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. If the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed." I'm free. I'm free. I'm not bound by anything. I'm not bound by the earth. I'm not bound by the Satan. I'm free. Touch somebody and say, "I'm free. I'm free. I'm not bound by anybody. I'm not bound to anything. I'm not bound to alcohol. I'm not bound to cigarette. I'm not bound to drugs. I'm not bound to anything. I'm not bound to illicit sex. I'm not bound. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free indeed." That's what God said. God's presence is an enabling presence. And when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, "I am the mighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." And when he said, "be thou perfect," he meant be perfect. And that strive for perfection. Strive for perfection. Strive for perfection. You got to have when you have Jesus in your life and you have God. And finally, the last point of the sermon. Long for more of God. You need to long for more of God. Don't be content in your Christian walk. Don't be content with what God did in your life 30 or 40 of 50 years ago. No, what about last week? What did he do last week? If you got him with you everywhere you go, You ought to have some plan. What is God doing in your life today? Are you taking him with you everywhere you go, or are you leaving home without him? Consider how far Moses had come. Now I want you to watch this trail of Moses. When Moses first encountered God at the burning bush, he was absolutely terrified of God's voice. Remember that? Now he can have a face-to-face talk with God. Been that long. You know, the longer you go with God, the more friendly and more sound you ought to be with. I've been there. I used to be scared of God. When I was going, I was scared of God. And that's a good thing, to be scared of when you first go up. It keeps you out of a lot of trouble. Keep you out of a lot of things. You say, God is watching me. I'm scared of him. Now, I'm not scared of him. I'm a friend of his. He walked with me, talked with me along the way. He trusts me. I trust him. He trusts me. Now, when Moses heard his voice, he was afraid of. Now he can look back on how God had delivered him, have him to bring 3 million people from slavery to miraculously cross a dry river of Jordan, to wander in the desert for 40 years, to bring water out of a rock and food from him, and now to right on the edge of the promised land. You know, when I look back over what God has brought me from, when he brought me from, you ought to look back. Look back where you came from. Look back. I remember when we came out here, we had that old church. Remember that? And I said, oh God, you gotta leave me. I'm 36 years old. I only have the skill in the church and leadership. I had the skill in management, but I didn't have the skill in church leadership. But God brought me. God taught me. God kept me. He never left me. And he never let my people, his people, out. We went from one place to another. We went from one good deed to another. We didn't went from joining ourselves to joining the white people in the church. We came to building this edifice, and God was with us. The presence of God was here, and he's still here. You got to feel it. You got to feel it. God is good. Amen. He's good. Moses had come a long way with God, as you can see by his royal prayer. I mean, he wasn't faking his prayer. Yet he was not satisfied. This man who was afraid of the burning bush says in verse 18, show me your Lord. Show me your glory, God. Moses wants to see God in all his fullness. He longed for more of God. Even at his age, he longed for more of God. I just see people so long ago when they get old. I think you ought to get more and more involved with him. You might not get grow like you went before, but you ought to pray like you did before. You ought to pray even more because you have a face to face with him. Mercifully, God says, Moses, you can't handle my full glory. It will kill you. But out of great tenderness, he has seen here in the cleft of this rock. And I'll see, let you see my backside. I'll go by. God knew that Moses can't handle. God, we can't handle seeing God face to face. We can feel his presence face to face. We need the church to learn more of God. We need to learn more of God. Not to be content with how close we are pressing him, but to want to grow closer, even more knowledgeable of his word. And as I grow, I want to lead you with this. A father and son arrived in a small western town. The father was looking for his daddy's brother, whom he had never seen him before. Suddenly, the father pointed across the street to a man who was walking away from him, walking away from his son and him. He said to my son, and to his son, "There goes my uncle. There goes my uncle." His son said, "Daddy, how in the world do you know that man is your uncle when you have never seen him before?" He said, "Son, I know him because he walked exactly like my father." If we walk with God, the world should know us by our walk. I'll close in with this. If we walk with God, we ought to know like our Father. We ought to walk and talk like Jesus. And not talk like our Father. We ought to walk like our Father. We ought to love like our Father. If we walk with God, we should never allow Satan to walk along with him. I love this song that we sing in my home church in Baton Rouge. "Walk with me, Lord." Remember that? "Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, walk my, I want you to walk with me." And then the second one was, "Hold my hand." No, "Hold my hand." You see, that song tried it, but then, "Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. I'm living in a mean world where people don't like me. Lord, hold my hand. Lord, hold my hand. Don't leave home without God in your life." Amen.